Would you please join us?
Worship together as we celebrate the heritage of our church. Directed our steps in the way, opened our eyes to the truth, inspired our hearts by their witness, and strengthened our wills by their devotion. We rejoice in their lives dedicated to your service. Grant that we may follow Christ, encouraged by their example, through the grace of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. This poem was written by Mrs. LaViolette for our Heritage Day service, and we're sorry that she can't be here to see the children performing today. Thank you.
The grade 5, 6, 7, 8 Sunday school classes have written their own short skit depicting what they think a Sunday school lesson was like over 100 years ago. We hope you enjoy it. It is 9 o'clock at the Sunday school house. The year is 1880. The students are arriving for their lesson. The teacher suddenly enters. Principal enters and sees that Mary has fallen asleep. We hope you enjoyed our short presentation of what we think a Sunday school lesson was like over 100 years ago. I would now like to introduce our characters to you. Our teacher was played by Trevor Finley. Our principal was played by Karen True. Phyllis was played by Stacy Coburn. And Anne and Mary were played by Katrina Smith.
Please join in singing hymn number 123.
Thank you. Would you please stand for the responsive reading on page 172, scripture 78? Fairly well standing. Trust in the Lord and do good.
So you will dwell in the land in the glorious security.
Take delight in the Lord.
He will give you the desires of your heart.
Commit your way to the Lord.
Be still before the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over him who prospers in his way. Yet a little while, and the wicked will be no more. Though you look well at his place, he will not be there. But the meek shall possess the land, and delight themselves in the fullness of peace.
Better is a little of a righteous house than the abundance of many wicked. The steps of a man are from the Lord, and he establishes him. Though he stumble, he shall not be cast headlong, for the Lord is the support of his arm.
I have been young, and now am old, yet never have I seen the righteous forsaken. He is ever giving liberally and lending, and his children become a blessing.
For the Lord loves justice, he will not forsake those who are forgiven. The righteous shall possess the land, and dwell upon it forever.
Scripture reading for today will be read from this very old Bible, which was donated to the church and is dated 1846. The Old Testament reading is from Psalms 145, verses 1 to 5. I will extol thee, my God, O King. I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty, and of thy wondrous works. The New Testament reading is from Matthew 16, verses 17 and 18. And Jesus answered, and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
I really enjoy what you're doing. I enjoy what you did, you guys, too. And I think it's super that we have a Heritage Day where we go back and think of the people who have contributed so much over such a long period of time so that those doors would be open for you and I to come through today. But there's another heritage that if the Sunday School will just give me a moment, I would like to talk about. In San Diego, California, the United States, there is a big church that has a huge statue right out on the front lawn. And it's a very, very busy corner. It's a real intersection of traffic. And the statue is a statue of Jesus. And his arms stretched out just like that, sort of saying he welcomes the whole world You know the song, He's Got the Whole World in His Hands? You all know that one? Sort of wonder sometimes what His hands must look like. Have the whole world in His hands. And you've got it. His hands look just like yours. You see, the statue has the arms stretched out, but there are no hands on it. The arms just go down as far as the wrists. And they're not broken. The people who made the statue made it that way. They wanted it that way because they wanted every one of us to know that we are the hands of Jesus. And that's a heritage that He has left us, to be His hands. So your hands are the hands of Jesus. My hands are the hands of Jesus. Your parents' hands, your neighbor's hands, your friend's hands, they are the hands of Jesus. The choir's hands, they are the hands of Jesus. And that's another heritage we have. Can we bow our heads now in prayer? Gracious and loving Father, this truly is a marvelous and a special day. A day when all our children are with us. A day when great things happen simply because we come to You and we give to You praise. But also great is the fact that as we meet today, we meet to remember and to give thanks to so many who have gone on before. Many who have contributed towards the start of a church in this community. Many who just contributed by forming the community itself. Many who put their hard-earned money and the sweat and labor of their hands into the building of the church itself. Many who have supported it over the years. Many who have contributed to the teachings that have gone on in the Sunday school and to the work that has gone on in the UCW and in the other groups and the Bible studies of this church, and to the ministers who have served, who have come because God has called them to teach and to worship and to live and to pray with the people of this community. But our heritage, O Lord, we know does not stop here. Our heritage began with Your gift of life to each one of us, and we are part of a new heritage that we will be leaving for those who come behind. And so it is a special day, for we all take part, the past, the present, and the future. Father, we ask simply that as each one of us looks at our hands, we will remember from this day forward that we have the hands of Jesus. The hands that can reach out and touch a person who is hurting. The hands that can hold hands with a frightened person. The hands that can ring the doorbell and knock at doors or pick up telephones to say hello to someone who is lonely. I care. The hands that will nurture the sick back to health. The hands that will stretch out and hold those who are in mourning. The hands that will do Your work. Father, we ask now for Your blessing. May Your blessing be upon us as it has been upon those who have gone before, and as it will be on those who follow us. And may Your blessing be upon our hands so that they will truly do the work that You Yourself would have us do. This we ask in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray together.
Thank you.
And now, with the hands of Jesus, let us reach out to help others and to spread his word as we present to the Lord our God our gifts, the gifts of love and the gifts of service, our morning offering. Father, we thank you for the privilege of giving to you and to your work, and we ask now that you bless these, our gifts, and that you bless each one of us through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
announcements are printed in the bulletin. I'd like to draw your attention to two of them. On March 3rd is the World Day of Prayer at St. Andrew's United Church at 7:30. And on March 5th, the Sunday School are having a sleigh ride at 10 a.m. You can drop your kids off at Ed Summers and Sylvia Williams Farm and pick your children up or join us after church for pizza at the farm. Place your orders and pay for the pizza early. Please join me in singing hymn number 79.
To celebrate our heritage, we have gathered some past events of our church. Cumberland is the oldest settlement on the Ottawa River between Ottawa and Montreal. The first settler came in 1801. The great majority of the settlers were from Scotland and Northern Ireland, and their religion was Presbyterian. The Old Kirk, a stone church on the riverbank, was erected in 1828 on the river near the ferry, and sometime later, a manse was built beside it. Across the river, the township of Buckingham was largely inhabited by Scots. This church in Cumberland served a large population on both sides of the river, as far down as Lochaber and Clarence, as well as up the river. The first records of our congregation date back to 1844, when the first resident minister, Reverend George Bell, was inducted into the pulpits of Cumberland and Buckingham. First communion service was on November 20th, 1844, with 55 people present. The first communion set is still in the possession of the church, preserved for many years by Mrs. H.B. Dunning. Mr. John Chalmers, who lived in Clarence, lit the fire in the Auld Kirk for the services each Sunday morning. He walked the bush trail from Clarence to Cumberland, leading his horse on which were seated his wife and small son, Jimmy. After January 1st, 1846, the Auld Kirk Church was known as the Carmel Presbyterian Church of Cumberland. In November 1883, the name of the church was changed to Mount Carmel. In February 1885, the name was changed to Cumberland. There is no record of the name St. Andrew's being taken. The annual report of 1920 reads Cumberland Presbyterian Church, and in 1921 it reads St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church, Cumberland. Division had come to the Presbyterian Church in Scotland, and this spread to the new land. Around 1850, a free church was formed, and Cumberland now had two Presbyterian churches. The free church erected a frame building on the road to Ottawa on the corner of Lot 16 at the west end of the village, where the highway garage now stands. This road had been opened to Ottawa in 1850. These early records tell of a deeply religious, God-fearing people. Harsh and severe as their life was, they were devoted to their church and strict in keeping of the Sabbath. In 1875, records show that the union between the two Presbyterian churches in Canada took place. A divine service was held in the Auld Kirk, the Stone Church. The Stone Church was destroyed by fire in the 1870s and replaced by our present building in 1879. A Sunday school was first organized in June 1846 and first met in the summer months only. On October 8, 1889, the first Thanksgiving supper and social event was held. There were many interesting facts about our church. The first organ was purchased in 1883. They had to use a tuning fork to obtain the correct pitch. The bell of the tower was given to the church in 1946. It was formerly the ship's bell of the Empress, a passenger steamship who sailed the Ottawa River for many years between Ottawa and Granville. The first furnace was installed in 1896. On November 27th, 1889, there was a meeting of the whole church, and it was decided to ask Presbytery to take Navan off and make Cumberland and Rockland the same parish charge. The first settlement was at Clarence, but as settlers came, Rockland grew, and in 1880, the Rockland-Clarence congregation started meeting in Rockland. It wasn't until 1971 that the Navanvar's congregation joined our church. On June 1st, 1920, permission was given to place a soldier's memorial on the church property. With the coming of the motor car, the church sheds used for horses and buggies was sold by auction in 1946. Plans for alterations to the church began in 1953. The new basement hall was dedicated on May 30th, 1954. There are now various organizations of the church. A women's foreign missionary society was organized in 1904. The Ladies' Aid was active after its organization in 1905. This organization is now known as the UCW. The choir, the Young People's Union, CGIT, and Mission Band all did their part to aid the church, work of the church. In 1960, it was proposed to build an addition to the north side of the church. It was decided to have a kitchen downstairs and a church parlor and washrooms upstairs. Cumberland Church has been faithfully served by a long succession of dedicated ministers. Each minister has contributed something out of the talents that has helped the people in their daily living. The minister who was here the longest was Reverend George D. Campbell, who came to St. Andrew's in 1920 and retired in 1948. The story of St. Andrew's can never be fully told apart from the labors of the valiant hearts who upheld the church through the years with their prayers, their presence, their gifts, and their services. Their memory will shine forever.
We now have some members of our congregation who have offered to share with us some of the memories or past experiences with the church. I'd like to first call on Mrs. Ethel Finley.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry. Did you sit right here?
I'm sure there'll be lots of things that Agnes can tell you that I don't know about. St. Andrew's has, I expect, been part of my life since the early 1930s. The minister's pictures, whom you see on the wall downstairs, have been part of family life over the years. My parents were married by Reverend Campbell in March 1927 in the manse, in the old manse. Alan and I were married here over 37 years ago, and my two sisters after that. The later years, Dave and Michelle were married here, and Shirley, who is my great niece, is sitting down here in front, was their little girl. And some of the, or most of the family funerals were conducted by ministers of this church, Neil being the latest one. I know that our 160th anniversary of this building has come and gone. However, certainly I plan to start my little discussion around 80 years ago. And at that time, our Vi Somerville was christened by Reverend Gregg, who is the first picture that you'll see on the wall downstairs. And Vi came into my neighborhood and my life in the late 1930s. And it was with her that I first came to help serve at suppers, Thanksgiving suppers, here in Cumberland. And those Thanksgiving suppers were a bit of a challenge, to say the least, because they were held over in the Maple Hall, and the building that you see here went back just behind to the choir loft. There was no basement. The heating was a humongous furnace down underneath, through which you went down a trap door, and this was fired up. There was no place for storage of many things, and I found out just last night that the dishes were kept in a cupboard over under the front seats here. And they were carried faithfully across to the Maple Hall, and the old wood stove was fired up with great gusto, even if it was a cup of tea you were having, and the well was out in back where the water was pumped by hand. So that was a bit of a challenge for church suppers and any other functions where food was served. Some of the main events that I remember were sleigh rides in the winter time, mostly sponsored by the Young People's Group, and the Beaton team of horses and Mr. Beaton were faithfully given the job of driving the young people around. The other functions that I remember here and enjoyed was strawberry social in June, bean suppers and skating parties, which the Ladies' Aid sponsored, and the young people's meetings were normally held over in the manse because, as I said, someone had to spend an awful lot of time getting this furnace huffing and puffing before it was warm enough to have very much happen in the church. So those are some of my earliest memories of the happenings in the church here. There weren't a lot of activities in the church in the wintertime because, of course, it was very cold. The other memories that I have very early in life was the Sunday school picnics. And they were also held out on the Beaton Farm in a grove of maples just east of Scott's house. And this was a great event. Everybody went. And Mr. Beaton would drive over with his wagon, and that was used as the table. And there was water brought and all the other goodies, and there were races. And this was truly an event enjoyed by all of the children and everyone, grandpas and grandmas, everybody went. And this was normally held in June. There were many good times, and of course there were some bad, or not so good. The Sunday school cannot be remembered without remembering Granny Moffat. And Granny Moffat was certainly a dear, lovable soul. And I probably was more fortunate than many, having had her as a teacher for, I think, 3 terms, starting in grade 5. And then taught along beside her for many years in the Sunday school here, despite her crippled hands and feet, about which she never complained. She was just a super person. She was always hugging, loving, encouraging every child she came in contact with, and spent her entire life helping and comforting others. And then we've always been fortunate and had a few extremely colorful people in our congregation. Mind you, they were dedicated and very hardworking. And the one that comes to my mind as I was putting this together was Mina McLaren. And Mina, in her bull in the china shop fashion, certainly did raise the odd eyebrow. I remember at one of the Thanksgiving suppers, she was standing with a pie in hand and asked this young fellow if he'd like a piece. And he made the colossal mistake of saying he'd already had 6. And she said, well, you're certainly not having another one. And she promptly backed off with the pie plate. And at another Thanksgiving supper, someone kindly asked her if she'd had her dinner. And she said, no, I haven't. But she said, I brought my dinner, I worked for my dinner, and I paid for my dinner, and now I'm going to eat my dinner. And these certainly did bring a few smiles in reflecting back. And things weren't always sweetness and light either. There were the gray moments and the rather tense times. And one of these times comes to mind some 30 years ago. And as George said last Sunday, things don't always happen as quickly as we would like. And I suspect that this probably was the case at that time. The Reverend, who was with us then and living in the old manse, felt that a floor in the new manse was badly needed. And lo and behold, one Sunday, the sermon was entirely on the new floor. And the manse committee was overhauled to some degree. So it's quite understandable that there were a few church members very steamed by the end of the service. And as they were getting down near the back, there was talk of some of them leaving and not coming back, and various mutterings. And Florence Edwards's mother, Maggie Beaton, sat in the second seat from the back down there, and she sat there very calmly, and she said, I am not going anywhere. I was born in this community. I was baptized in this church. I was married here. And I'll probably die here too. However, all of this will be resolved, and the Reverend of today will be gone on somewhere else. And through her quiet perseverance, we still have with us today her children, her grandchildren, and even some great-grandchildren. So that gives us some indication of the tense times that we've lived through this past year, that there's always been with us. strong perseverance to carry on in this, our church. Florence Edwards said one time that blessed be the peacemakers. And yes, we've had to call on them from time to time. And I'm sure we've all thought that recycling was brand new in the township. But St. Andrews has always had a recycling with a difference. And they've been very successful at this. Their young ladies, mostly, have gone on to live in other points of St. Andrews' charge. And I think of the Hilda Sharkies and the Helen Edwardses and the Joan Edwardses who've gone on to live in Navan. And then, of course, we've been receiving on the other end people who have come to live in our community from Navan and Rockland, like Vi Somerville, who was baptized in Rockland and has been in our congregation for many, many years. Elner Beaton, who came from Navan, Letitia Russell, and on the story goes. So we really do keep control, and we keep passing on the folks that have grown up in our church. And we've been lucky enough to have Bertha Edwards go full cycle. She started off here, she went to Navan, and now we have her back with us. Those are some of my many memories of St. Andrews, and as you see, it's never been a dull place. We only hope that we can make it a happy welcome family to join. And the young people that we see today gives us great heart that when we're no longer able to do these things, there'll certainly be somebody there looking after us.
I would now like to call on our second speaker for today, Mr. Angus Wilson.
My life in St. Andrew's Church doesn't go back as far as Ethel's, but I arrived here in 1950 and I've been here ever since. Mr. Gilbert was the minister, had just arrived about that time. He was quite a character, and quite often I would see him running around the village in his brown coveralls and in an old Model A Ford and an Irish setter sitting in the back. Well, anyway, getting back, I think it must have been the floor job at the manse, and Harry Baldwin was inveigled into by his boss to go down and help install this floor. And his boss, Florence Hill's brother, who decided to better warn him that the minister had a habit of running around in these coveralls and driving a Model A Ford. So anyway, Mr. Gilbert arrived on the scene, and of course he asked how the job was going. Harry, who was noted for his ecclesiastical language, replied in like manner. So then after that, Mr. Gilbert thought, well, this doesn't sound a very good character to have around. I'm going to ask him why he doesn't come to church. And he said, well, Baldwin used to go to church, but he didn't feel, plus a few adjectives, any better than the people that went to church all the time. So that was the end of that argument. The next minister we had was Jamie Miller, who was a chaplain in the armed forces and was glad to come here because housing was not too plentiful in Ottawa, and he served our church plus his job in the army. He was a great diplomat. Now, Mr. Gilbert had decided we needed this hall under the church, but unfortunately his manner was not the most diplomatic type, and he called called a meeting and suggested this, and of course everybody was up in arms and no, we weren't going to do that. But when Major Miller came, or Jamie as he was known to many of us, he was able to soothe the troubled waters, and the next thing we had, he had a bee here, and the whole church was dug out in about 2 days for the new hall. And besides that, when it came to furnishing those wonderful chairs we have down in the hall, Jamie brought one down from the National Defense Headquarters, and he whispered to me, because he didn't want it generally known, he said, "This is one of the chairs that we have in the men's wet canteen." So anyway, a lot of the ladies didn't know it, but they bought chairs similar to what they used in the wet canteen at the NDHQ. Jamie was also an avid TV viewer. Of course, at that time, the TVs had just come in, and he was watching some program in the manse, and all of a sudden, the set went dead. So he thought there's something gone wrong with it, so he rushed across the street to his friends over there, rushed in the house, not even knocking on the door, turned on the TV and found that theirs wasn't working either. It turned out the station had gone off the air. The next character we had, I must say he was a character, because he was quite a character, is right, this Mr. Rinaldo Armstrong. Now, he was a man, he was just about ready for retirement when he came here, and was well-versed in all church politics, having been in the church long before church union days. My first experience meeting him, he drove into my yard and introduced himself, started to ask a few questions, and he said, "How many families are affiliated with the church?" So I told him. Then he went on to say, "Well, how many of them go to church?" Well, that was rather an embarrassing question, because the numbers didn't tally too well. But also, Mr. Armstrong wasn't one to use the normal procedures about acquiring things for the church. He decided one day we needed a duplicator. So all of a sudden the duplicator arrived, and naturally after that the bill arrived, which the stewards had to cough up for. And then another time he asked Rex Lellisher, I don't know if you knew him, he was quite a good singer in Ottawa, and he had a choral group, so Mr. Armstrong decided the choir could stand some lessons, so he got Mr. Lellisher to come down. So he came for a few weeks, and then after that the bill arrived for his services. Also, with no warning to the stewards. And I think Mr. Armstrong's driving ability left very much to be desired. As a matter of fact, I don't know how he ever got a license. He used to have a youth group met on Sunday afternoons, and he drove around and picked them up. So the fellows that were fortunate enough to get in the back seat considered themselves fairly safe, but the last man in had to sit in the suicide seat. So. And he did have a bad accident coming back from conference in Montreal one time, down near Loringal, I think it was. And the police drove him home because his car was totaled. So he arrived up here, and I think Mrs. Armstrong had gone off to visit her relatives up in Renfrew. And so there was nobody here, so Mrs. Moffat, who lived across the street, came over, and Linda Williams, who was a nurse, came over, and Linda just thought he should take off his clothes and go to bed, which he refused to do. And she said, "Well, if you don't take them off, I'm going to take them off for you." So he then was a little more cooperative. Then we had Mr. Dunlop, another fellow with a strong will, I must admit. And he used to have the worst collection of hats I ever saw. I have some bad ones, but he had many of them. And the women were going to run a rummage sale one time, and I remember Mrs. Dunlop saying, "Well, I have lots of hats that my husband wears that I'd be glad to donate." And also, when he was there, one spring day, the garage at the manse went up in smoke. It was rather fortunate that we just acquired the fire reel the fall before, and this was one of its first outings. We think it was caused by an electrical malfunction, because somebody very observed that the fuse box had many overloaded fuses in it, so somebody very carefully put in the correct ones before the fire inspector got there to check things out. Then Archie Manson was here for a while, and then, excuse me, and during his time the rear addition was built onto the manse. I had a few hair-raising rides with him as we drove around the community looking at other churches. But anyway, he always told me, he said, boy, Montreal's a city to go to. He said, they really know how to drive down there because they drove the way he liked it. And I'm getting up closer to the present there. I can't think of too much of some of the later ones, except I used to always think that Cam was quite a sight, as he used to be preaching here, and then all of a sudden he'd shoot through this little hole here and come and sing in the choir. And he was a good asset to the choir because he was quite a musician. I have a good many more incidents, but I think they would be better left to your imagination, because they're just a little bit contentious. Thank you.
I would now like to call on our third speaker for the day, Mrs. K. Black.
All I've got to say, stick around for another 20 years and you'll hear what we say about you. Well, I'm going to sort of end off and mention all the people that haven't been mentioned. I was originally going to talk about Mary Cameron, so I think I'll start with her. Mary Cameron is mentioned every year in the annual report, but she gave far more than money to this church. She taught for years, and then she came back to Cumberland to retire to her cottage down by the river, just west of the ferry dock there. Now, I'm a comparative newcomer to Cumberland. We came here in 67. And as Alda Moffat told me one time, you have to be here 50 years before you're a resident. I'm awfully glad that Mary spoke about Alda, because I never would have made it. I loved her too. Anyway, Mary arrived, and we arrived in Cumberland. And one of the blessings was being a friend of Mary's. She was intelligent, she had the most delightful sense of a humor. It was almost mischievous. It was just delightful. She taught a lot of the people in Cumberland to swim. Anybody here get taught by Mary? She told us one time she taught a lot of the children down by the ferry dock to swim. This was the first time that Les had met her. We'd gone for a walk. And we ended up down at the cottage, and I said to him, you've got to meet Mary and really get to know her, because she's delightful. So we arrived, and Mary, we were all sitting on her front porch looking out, and she said, I taught a lot of people in Cumberland to swim, you know, Les. You're with environment, aren't you? Les said, mm-hmm. Well, she said, in those days, I always told the kids to swim in the river, but not to go too far into the middle, because that's where all the stuff floated down. She paused, this long pause, and she looked at Les, and she said, of course, that was before we knew it was polluted. The people and environment just loved that one. She was a very well-respected teacher where she was, and I knew this because we had been stationed a lot in Western Ontario, and she had taught a lot up there, and she taught some of our friends' children. And one of them, Mike, was a real character. And he told me one time that he said, I'll tell you one thing. When Miss Cameron taught you, you knew how to spell, he said. It was expected, and what she expected, you did. But he said, we had more fun in her class. I really loved her. And I was reminiscing with her about them, and she had a lot of friends. She used to go and visit them, and they used to come back and visit her. And I felt privileged on a couple of occasions to be invited down for tea, because listening to these gals reminisce was really something. So she brought this background back to the church. She'd been away, and she came back, and she, I can remember talking about ministers. I always loved the story. She would always say thank you to the minister on the way out the door, but she never would comment on the sermon. So one day, I won't even tell you which minister it was, because I'm sure most of you will understand. On the way out the door, she looked him right in the eye. She had to look up quite a way. And she said, that was a good sermon. So afterwards, he told me, he said, you know, I felt like I'd been anointed. She'd never commented before. Was he ever thrilled? Wait a minute. Now, I don't want to miss anything here, because some of them were really good. She had a dog. Oh, all you children will love to hear about Pippa. Pippa never came to church, but Pippa was a force to be reckoned with. It was a little itty-bitty dog, small, light, and airy, but had a tremendous personality. In fact, really, Pippa was in charge of their life together. The only trouble was Mary didn't know it, but Pippa did. So if Mary would bring up something and really overrule Pippa, he would snort. Now, did any of you ever know a dog that could snort? Pippa could give the most elegant snort and leave the scene. Just leave, Mary said. Well, chalk one up for Mary. Every time Pippa did it. She had a Volkswagen. And talk about drivers. She was right up there with the rest of them. She was a free spirit. I guess that's just about all I want to say, except I want to go on to the 150th anniversary of the church. We had a meeting of the committee, and it was decided that, this was in December, maybe the beginning of January, end of December, wasn't very far ahead of January anyway, and so we decided that every month we'd donate to one of the groups of the church. But who would do January? So because the UCW was so well organized, naturally they would do January. And there I was with January. And I'd only been here 10 years, you know, so this was kind of a problem. If I hadn't had Mary and Florence and the executive, we never would have got this flip. And I'll show you what we did. This is the book. I spent a few minutes this morning looking for a blue book. That just shows you I'm getting old, eh? And the theme of it all was the past inspired. The future challenges. Oh, Mary liked that. She thought that was really good. So in this service, the beginning of the, just a minute now till I find it here. At the beginning, our anniversary service was on January the 8th. So you can realize we really had to rush to get this ready. And so Mary came and helped us, and we had special guests, the president of the conference and the president of the Presbyteria, and I was president of our church. And we made up these lists of the women that had been in our church, all the women who had worked in the church. And this was quite an effort to remember everybody, because, you know, it takes a lot of courage to make up a list. I mean, you might forget somebody's ancestor. You'd be in a lot of trouble. And she'd probably be a great worker. If you were going to forget somebody, she'd be a really great worker. And this, so I was really worried about this. So we had this, you can see all these pages. They were all read out at the service, and every page had an ancestor of one of the person who read the name. Just to make it more personal, you know. And I think I got one more page here. No, that's all. So we had this meeting, and I said, well, we can't forget anybody. So Mary said, no problem. We'll just figure out, I'll go through Cumberland bit by bit, and as we do, we'll get all the women from the different sections. Remember, Florence? So that's what she did. We wrote down all the names, and some of them had the most gorgeous names. Althea and Rosamond and, oh, just beautiful names, Pansy and Violet, and names you never hear today. So of course, you know, like I like being married to Leslie, but I'm Mrs. K. So I couldn't see any reason why we couldn't choose these gorgeous names. Florence said, no way. She said, those women would have been very upset if you hadn't said Mrs. George somebody or Mrs. John somebody, because that was the way they lived. So I guess I looked awfully disappointed, because Mary looked over at me and she said, "Never mind, Kay," she said, "you can use the Christian names of the smart ones." I'd also like to mention a few of the women that have worked in our church. I think of Blanche McMillan. Blanche was on the corresponding secretary of Conference UCW for years, and I was on the executive too, so we used to drive together. Well, anything you've heard about driving doesn't compare. We were going out to a church out in the West End. What's the name I'm trying to think of, Leslie? Westboro. We were going out to Westboro Church, and Blanche said to me, "Be ready, 9 o'clock. I said, "I'm ready." So away we went. Always when I went with Blanche, when I got in the car, I'd give a little prayer. "Please, Lord, get me home again. It's your responsibility." So we're going out Carling Avenue, you know, and like she always said, she never drove fast. I'd hate it if she'd ever driven fast, because, whew, she used to hit it. We're buzzing down in this little red Volkswagen, and we're buzzing down Carling. And I said, "Blanche, haven't we gone by Churchill?" "Oh, I didn't know where we were going," she said. I said, "Oh, I'm awfully sorry, Blanche. I didn't realize you didn't know where we were going. But we'll have to turn around on one of these streets." "Oh," she says, "I'll turn around." So she kept going. We got right down to where Carling and Richmond intersect, and there's another road there. As soon as the light turned orange, she went right around. She had people on all sides honking the horn at her, but she was going around. I'm sitting there with my eyes closed shut, looked up and wiggled. I said, "That's church." I was never so glad to get out of a car in my life. Took me all day to recuperate. But she was a wonderful gal, and very clever, and she was our treasurer for years, and an honored position. Another one I'd like to mention is Irene McCormick. When you look back at that Lord's Prayer back there, that was the work of Eileen. And it was beautifully done. And she was a member of the village unit. We lost three members of the village unit in the same year. Alta and Mary were both born in 1900, and they died in 1980. And the same year, Margaret Hayes died. She was our leader. So we lost three people. It was a really tough year for our unit. And then there was Dot Rowe. We should remember Dot Rowe, because she did, I forget what it was called, Ethel, but was it the nursery role? Cradle role. She looked after the cradle role for years, and she used to send little cards so that people could have them when their children joined. And she was a dear soul. And Sadie Edwards. I've always been very fond of Sadie Edwards. Sadie was a very formal person. To me now, I mean, I didn't live here all my life. But she used to sit ahead of me in the pew over there when we used to sit over there. We used to sit over there when Leslie could hear better. But now we moved, when he could hear better. Now we moved up to the front. So I don't get to see what goes on in the back. It kind of is annoying, but anyway, I'd rather be with him. But anyway, she used to sit in front of us, and we used to have great visits on Sunday. And I got to know her because we did the dishes one time at a dinner, one of the dinners, and we got stuck. Seemed like ages we got stuck, but we were having such a good time, we didn't mind. And she told me all about when she was young and the hats they used to wear. We had a wonderful time. And I felt after that, I was really glad we'd done the dishes together, because I always felt so close to Sadie after that. And I guess that, I know there's lots of other wonderful people, but I can't seem to think of them, except Heck McMillan. He was another favorite of mine. And I remember we had a young student here in July one time. And he had heard about Christmas in July, and he was going to try it. And it was when they had the trouble, now Angus will remember, it was down when the road went out, and they closed off the highway, and all the traffic went through the village, you know. We even had a light. I mean, you'll stop and go. It was wonderful. But when it said stop down there, it meant stop, because we used to have them lined up in front of the church. And this lovely July Sunday, all the beautiful Christmas carols, we'd open the door because it was quite hot, and all the beautiful Christmas carols kept going in. And I'm sure that all the people in the cars couldn't get over him. But bless the pet, he had a wonderful Christmas day. And when we were saying, talking at the church entrance at the end, I said, did you enjoy that?
Okay, now we're going to talk about the present and the future. Okay, these posters were done by Brent McIntosh, and he's not here today. Even as we talk about past heritage, we are creating today what will be the church's heritage in the future. Our church has many new innovations. As we expand and look towards the future, we have come up with some suggestions that might make things a little easier for everyone. First of all, we have decided to install an elevator. But in the future, wouldn't things be a little more convenient with a modern-day beaming station? We could be zapped from floor to floor. Every church should have one. Okay. We have presently been using microphones to make the service easier to hear. In the future, we could install headsets in every pew. We would not only make things easier to hear, these would also, at the same time, translate the minister's words into different languages. Let's consider the future minister's comfort. Driving from church to church is such a hassle. We could easily install a monorail between all three churches to speed up transit. Instead of speakers, let's consider television sets and VCRs. We could broadcast the church services to the basement and save them all for future use. Okay. Now for our comfort. We come to church every Sunday and sit on our hard, wooden pews. But wouldn't things be a little more like home with the comfort of the Lazy Boy pew? It would make things a lot easier. Think about it. We could all sit back and relax. With the new church expansion coming up, I'd like to make a suggestion of high-rising the building. As you can see, it is quite extravagant. The whole congregation could sleep over in the church Saturday night and make things a lot easier to get to church service on Sunday morning. This idea, of course, only costs a little bit more. There is thought of placing a parking lot in the back of the church. On a more serious level, ideas like the elevator, stained glass windows, and the new VCR and TV are helping to bring our church a little closer to the future. The efforts of our church members, teachers, and ministers are building a strong foundation which in the future will be remembered for its contributions in supporting St. Andrew's United. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you this day for those who have given of their lives in the past to build a strong church in our community. Thank you for those who have shared with us today. May we continue to remember the past as we go forward with our mission to your ministry here on earth. Amen.
Would you now please join with me in singing hymn number 294?
Amen.